Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 414. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Enjoy the beauty. Enjoy it. Gaze into it.
Jeff is going to be enjoying the beauty with us tonight as well.
Yes, with my new Xbox One
X. Something.
We'll see. Something. And Pete will be enjoying the beauty from a different console.
Sure.
Because most of the games are interchangeable for the most part, so
yeah.
And there's not a lot of exclusives coming from either at Microsoft or Sony this fall. So, but we're not here to talk about what Jeff is going to buy, although we could
for hours and convince him that the X is the right choice, which it is.
I'll just be mad in a year or 2 years when it's like the new system comes out and have to buy it.
That'll be the best part.
You won't be mad. I don't think you'll be mad.
What'd you say, Pete?
I said that'll be the best part about this whole thing.
Yeah, that's why I'm hesitant to go with like the higher end model, but whatever. It's like impulsively go one direction or the other. We'll see.
Did Chris die again?
Maybe. I just thought there was like dramatic silence or something.
He's very dramatic.
Really thinking about it.
Hey, there we are. All right. I didn't lose internet connection. Everything just went weird on Google this time. Is everybody still here?
Yeah.
I think right. So.
Am I here?
Yeah. He is here. So you guys have been playing Dead Cells?
Sure have.
How are you guys doing? Have your feelings evolved since last week?
I'm curious to know how Jeff's have evolved, if at all.
Mine have strengthened a lot. I think this is one of the best games of the year, for sure.
Yes.
No, I think this game
probably, it's actually the game I've had the most fun with this year by like a large margin.
Yeah, it is. Because it's so weird, because there's like not much to it, but there is. It's a perfect background game, which is how I've been playing it, undocked, like handheld mostly, as I watch stuff. And it's so perfect for that. Like, it's just, I don't know. And it's just, it does have something to it that's bringing you back. Like, there is a real progression. Like, especially once I was talking to you, Pete, on Twitter, and I realized that killing the elites give you some of those permanent upgrades that you need, and that's helped me to progress for sure. Like, I did not realize that. You know, like, you kind of, like, you know, if you need to kill certain things, they're going to drop certain things for you so that you reach certain levels and shit. Like, that is, you know, a game changer right there. So,
that's how fucking ossuary is.
Yeah, but I finally did beat the elite in there by...
Oh, you did? Okay, cool. So you got the Rams were in then.
Yeah. I died right after I beat him. That's where you get the ground pound from, right?
Yeah.
I died right after I beat him. I was so worried I was going to lose that, but luckily that is
those things are permanent
right away. Yeah. Well, a lot, there's other things that are permanent that you have to like make it to the save point. Otherwise, it's not, you know? So I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, thank God. And I also did finally beat the boss on the Black Bridge. So that was pretty cool. And then I died immediately, like 10 seconds into the next level, and had to restart. But hey, I chipped away at it. I did some shit. How about you?
So I've reached the end of the game several times. I just cannot beat the last boss yet. I've gotten him down to like two or three hits left, but I couldn't finish it yet. Like, I don't know if it's my play style or if there's just a very specific build that's required to handle that kind of boss, but like. How's that boss? Yeah. It's very tough because that boss starts summoning elites and stuff that you have to beat and all that stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of fun for everyone involved.
That sounds...
But I do have all of the runes now, so I can access pretty much every level in the game. Like, I have the spider rune now and stuff like that. And so it's been fun, like... now that I have those runes to be able to access the other levels and have like a good like variety, I wish almost that the levels were maybe a little more randomly selected. Like, oh, this run I, you know, the game chose this path for me or something. But I guess that makes unlocking stuff would be like hard and involve a lot of resetting and stuff like that. So maybe that's why they don't do it. But yeah, no, I mean, it's easily like the like the best game that I've played this year so far. So
yeah, that's awesome. You guys should get it. You should get it on Switch.
I want.
I had it on PC and I've been playing it with a PlayStation 4 controller. It's been awesome.
I know. I am thinking about getting it, but I don't think I'll get it on Switch. So
I don't know. I think it's so. The way I'm like grinding away at it is playing it while I'm watching TV. So
yeah, I mean, I have a second monitor, so I just like turn something on and it as Jeff said, like as a background game.
I think
or, you know, like while I'm podcasting or something. Holy shit!
Whoa,
that was something. Is everybody okay there?
I'm still here.
I think that was Tony. I don't hear Tony anymore, so
he's scratchy.
Sorry, that was the beanbag. I put my headset down for a moment.
Oh,
sounded like your cat got a hold of it or something.
No,
like you and the headset, and we're being dragged away.
That's right.
But you had already been killed, so there was no screaming. yeah, I think I'm going to get Dead Cells maybe this weekend. So,
yes.
We'll see. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it on Switch. I know Jeff obviously is petitioning for that, but
very strongly. We'll
I would just be wary of the performance hitches
The performance hitches happen very rarely when you're like transitioning from like one screen to the next kind of, and it feels like way more drastic than a frame rate drop though. It's like the game skips for a second, like all of a sudden you're there and then you're like 5 feet.
No, I mean I say that, but also on PC I've had issues where when I enter the shop, the camera freaks out for a second, like. It's stuck on the ledge that I dropped down from, and then like quickly adjusts itself. It actually has made me motion sick once. Like, it's kind of wild how that stuff works. But
none of the performance issues I've had though have really really bothered me. It's just like, oh yeah, it sucks when it happens, but like it always happens. Usually it's overdone within a half second anyway, so it's just like whatever, and it barely happens as it is. I don't know, but either way, just get it whatever you want to play it on. Get it, because I think the game is it's pretty great. I don't know if it's 100% like your type of game, Chris, but it's like not 100% my type of game either.
I like that. Evidently, like from what you guys were saying last week, and now, like that, there are upgrades. You keep those, so
yes, there's only four of them. So,
and
I think earlier last week when we had talked, I at least thought it was maybe a slightly more like a little more like there's going to be a little bit more traversal stuff involved, but it's really like once you have these four things, like okay, well. Go figure out how to beat the game now, because like you have access to everything now. Like,
it just gives you like kind of like different combinations of paths you can go down at some point. But I do think that like the core gameplay is like enough up your alley that you'll like it, even if like the roguelike stuff like rubs you wrong. Initially, I think you'll get over that hump and get into it. At least that's how it was for me, where it's just like, it just feels so good to play that, and like whatever, it's like, you have a bad run, okay, well, that was 5 minutes, let's see how this goes, like, you know, just, and you're slowly just chipping away, it's just fun.
It was like, all right, well, I died. Time to go just, like, jump back in and stuff. Like, it's an right. easy flow. To, like, and even though, like, the levels are the same, like, I love the soundtrack. I think the music is phenomenal. And I've heard quite a bit of it. Okay, let me see what I'm at in terms of powers right now.
I always have it turned down, so I miss out on that.
Oh, no, the music is so good. I mean, but yeah, I guess if you're watching TV, it's hard. Yeah, I've played almost 30 hours, so...
That's it's a crazy thing about the game is like it's basically like a 10 minute to like half hour game that you're gonna spend maybe 40 hours on.
Well, and the average run I'd say if you're like really taking your time being methodical will be like an hour or two. So like there can be a point where like you get pretty late in the game and you die and you're like, well, there goes an hour of my time. But because you like got cells and you
did stuff moved
towards
way.
Unlocking stuff, like you didn't actually waste all that time. It's just you just didn't get to the end.
Right. And like I think that's like one of my biggest kind of concerns with rogue like games is that like, hey, well, you're done and you didn't finish it and you didn't actually progress at all, but this sounds like there is some sort of progression, so
yeah
it definitely
is. It's slow. I've got most of the upgrades and stuff like and the game like really does open up once you get like a bunch of stuff going and stuff like that. Like I don't know. The variety in it is fun.
It takes a while, I think, to like get in a groove and totally figure out what you're doing with it. But like once you like get what the game is, it's just like an awesome thing that you can play for like a half hour.
Like fit your style and stuff like that, like I didn't think the spear would be my favorite weapon in the whole game, but I adore those things so much.
I don't have them yet.
Oh, you haven't gotten like the impaler yet?
No.
Those things are so good. Because they can actually hit multiple enemies at the same time. So like you can sort of pierce through one enemy and into the other. So if you're in a group, you can damage all of them at the same time. Which is very helpful.
I beat the boss, like the Black Ridge boss or whatever. By having two grenades on me, like two ice grenades. So, like...
Oh, so just frozen?
Yeah, I had them on reduced cooldown, too. Like, that was one of the upgrades I got or whatever. So, it was like, I would throw one grenade, and within 10 seconds, it was ready to go again. And then I had the other one. So, the boss was literally frozen the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't do anything. And I had, like, this amazing fucking top-notch whip. Like
the best thing will be when you, like, understand his pattern so much that you... Like, it's similar to Dark Souls in that sense, just where, like just through the matter of repetition, by, like, hour 10, you're like, oh, this fucking guy.
Oh, like, even,
what a chunk. You
even
know,
with,
like,
randomly generated levels, too, like, you could, if after a while, you, like, know what you're doing in the levels. Like, okay, if I go that way, this is what will be there. Like, you know all the little signposts that are, like, okay, well, this section is where this will happen. If I go up these vines, it's going to lead me to the toxic sewers or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Now that you have the ranch, you should go to the toxic sewers because the game... Because
they have all the ground pound shit is like in there, right?
Okay, so the game... The only thing I will fault the game on is that it doesn't tell you how to unlock like the next thing in terms of like the traversal runes. Like, it gives you the first one. And stuff, but then I had to look up where to find the other ones. I kept playing the game. It was like, oh, these elites will give them to me because sometimes they show up in other levels. But those would always give me things like stat boosts or a legendary weapon or something like that.
Well, I was like, wondering.
I finally had to look it up, and it was like, this one elite in this one level, the first time you kill him, drops the rune in order to like go to the next like section of levels.
Yeah.
The fuck, guys? Like, so in order to get the spider rune, you got to go through the the toxic source.
Yeah, like, I didn't even realize that at first. Like, that's why I remember I was telling you, I'm like, oh, I never get the path that goes to the ossuary. Well, that's because I didn't have the rune or whatever I needed to get to the ossuary, which I think is like the thing where you can teleport. Yeah. So, like, I would have just kept going in that same loop like a hamster and never would have found it because I didn't realize I had to kill one of those elites. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I wish that the game let you know that But yeah, now that you know that, Chris,
thing that I would fault it for, I'm gonna fucking die.
Yeah, like, so Chris, if you get the game, kill elites. When you run into an elite, kill the elite.
The first elite in some of the levels will be the elite that has like the room and stuff. So like the one in the promenade has the vine room. The first one in the toxic sewers has the teleportation room. The first one in the ossuary has the ram room, and then the first one in the sanctuary has the spider room. So it's like not like levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's like levels 1A, and then level 1B.
Yeah.
And level, 2A, and then level 2, like 3A. It's stupid. Like, that's the only thing that kind of annoyed me about the game, where I was like, guys, like, I should not have had to go to the wiki to figure out how to get the next like set of levels.
Because you discover everything else pretty much on your own. But then that one little thing I got from you. But other than that, like, once you know that stuff, like, I think it's a really, really awesome game.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of endlessly replayable.
Yeah, but like, that's the only thing I could fault it for. I do hope that they continue to support the game with new levels, because I could see a point where, now that I have access to all but, now thinking about it, there's two levels that you can only access after you've beaten the game the first time. Then the path just becomes the same, which is kind of why I wish it was a little more randomized, because once I have to the choice, it's like, well, I've already been to both, and neither are going to provide me any new content, but I don't know.
I would actually pay for extra levels to be added to this.
Oh yeah, sure.
Like, that's how cool I think this is.
I want them to release, like, if they do like a set of tools where people can create their own levels, and you can just, at least on the PC, Steam Workshop them in or something like that. Like, that would be really cool.
Nice. It's on my list because I finished Symphony of the Night, so I could use another 2D.
You're a better man than me. I've never beat it.
I think Jeff, because that game has a leveling system, and I actually didn't have to grind a whole lot. There were a couple spots where I was like, all right, I'm getting a couple hundred experience for killing these guys, and if I run through the rooms a couple times, I'll level up. But I never had to spend like a long amount of time doing it. There are some weird things in it, though. Like, if I didn't have a guide, like, I would never have reached Dracula, because you have to find a certain pair of glasses that sub characters gives you, and if you don't have them equipped while you're fighting, it's like basically he's maybe like 2/3 of the way through boss. If you don't have them equipped and attack the orb that shows up when you have them on, and destroy that, you kill him and the game ends. But if you do have them equipped, you destroy the orb, then it unlocks a whole nother castle.
Is it a new castle or is it the upside down castle?
It's the inverted castle. So it's,
yeah.
It's the same castle, but you're on the ceiling of everything.
Oh, right. See, I've heard of that. I just not realize. I didn't hear about the whole glasses part.
Yeah, that's some super esoteric PS1 like.
Yeah, that's some Simon's Quest bullshit there.
The kind of stuff that like game magazines like they fucking like it was their wet dream to have something like that in the game. Because then they mattered. Just imagine like those big cheat sections like. And stuff went back when you couldn't get the strategy cards online.
But that game's great. I don't know if I hold to it being the, like, a lot of people consider it to be the best Castlevania. I'd probably place it maybe 3rd or 4th out of the ones I've played so far. With Super Castlevania 4 and Castlevania 3 definitely being above it.
Yeah, I think I'd be with you. Ones?
What was that?
Is there the Super Nintendo ones?
So Super Castlevania 4 is one of the ones on the Super Nintendo, and Castlevania 3 is the last one on the original Nintendo.
Oh, okay. And Simon's Quest is the second game, right? Like
Simon's Quest is Castlevania 2, yeah.
The other thing for me is like the new Castlevania, you know, what do you call it? Metroidvania ones, like from Symphony of the Night on.
Right.
I kind of like the ones that they did like on the DS and shit more than what I've played of Symphony of the Night. So it's weird, but I would totally be with you, Chris. Not having beat Symphony of the Night, I would still say the same thing though. It's like 3 and 4 kind of my shit. One and two as well.
Like, oh yeah, well, I really like 2. Like, it is super flawed, like, and full of like weird bullshit. Like,
but it's just interesting.
Yeah, but I do like it a lot.
River, yeah, that was a thing I remember, right? Like, you can't cross the river.
Oh yeah, you need to have like a special orb, and you have to be holding it and kneeling down.
Yeah, kneel for like 5 seconds in front of a cliff that you would never really know. Like, I think there was like a thing you would read that would kind of clue you into that, right? But like.
And I think like that's just like stuff that games did back then. Like, I'm even thinking to like Ocarina of Time. Like, you have to shoot the sun in order to get the fire arrows. Like, what? I mean, I don't remember well enough to know if the game actually telegraphed that at all. But like, just like how weird games used to be about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they had a bunch of like weird, like crazy ass crap that you'd probably never really figure out, but. People did somehow.
Fucking, I'm the final boss of Zelda 2, and you need to use like a spell, like a specific spell on that boss before you can do any damage to it. So it's like, and I don't know how you would know that other than like you just try everything,
right?
And the best part is I don't have enough magic built up. Like, I have not leveled myself up enough to even pull the spell off. So I'm like, I guess I'm done with that game because I am not backing out of this fucking last dungeon and grinding so that I can be good enough to cast a spell. Game could go fuck itself. Like, it was a cool game, but Jesus Christ. Anyways.
So I finished Symphony of the Night, which was cool. I do wish I missed the whip.
Yeah, you do.
Agreed.
But I then played the next game chronologically to release, which was Castlevania Legends. That's on the Game Boy. That's okay. It's just okay.
Yeah, I was saying, that sounds like a bad time.
It's like in the middle of the Game Boy games. And I would say at the bottom end of like the 11 Castlevania games I've played so far. And now I've started Castlevania 64, and wow, that's a game.
Oh man, I love watching getting speedrun because it's just so garbage looking.
It does not look good. It does not hold up visually, and I don't have an instruction manual for it. So like figuring out like how to do things is a nightmare because the N64 controller was weird.
It is a nightmare in and of itself.
Yeah. So it like had the weird like C stick. Not C stick, but I had like the C buttons, yeah.
Stupid controller.
It's so weird. There's like so many weird things that go on in how that game handles and trying to figure it out. I'm getting there though, but I'm moving on. But yeah, it's different, very different from other Castlevania, so I can see why they did not do a ton of 3D games. Although the ones that came out on 360 and PS3, well, at least the first one, I thought was pretty good.
I don't remember what they're called anymore. I almost wanted to say Shadows of the Damned, and that is a very different game.
No, the Shadows of the Damned is a very different game. It is... doesn't really matter. But yeah, those ones I think are pretty good, but they're more like
they're very like Devil May Cry, like they're like character action games, basically. Like,
yeah, Devil May Cry, God of War type games, Lords of Shadow.
What about them?
They're just different, like, but they play better than like the other 3D games. Well, there's two 3D Castlevania games on the PlayStation 2 that I haven't gotten to yet, so
Yeah, I'm sure that was aged great.
Yeah. I think like the 2D games have aged wonderfully, but yeah, those 3D early 3D games. Whew.
What I've played of those newer ones was kind of cool. I thought, like, I don't know, it's not like playing it on the NES, but
right,
it's an interesting take. I thought.
Yeah, I remember Lords of Shadow being pretty good.
Yeah, I thought the second game, like, it was announced and a lot of people seemed to like it, but then it came out and nobody think it was bad, right?
Yeah, I don't think the second one did very well, at all. It was also set in like modern times, I guess. Whereas,
right, because there's like that weird hidden after credits scene in the first game and stuff.
Yeah. But there was also like the in-between game, which was it was a 2D...
Oh, the Mercury Steam game.
Yeah, Mirror Fate, which I actually liked.
I liked it too.
Oh, like, weird.
I know a lot of people like did not enjoy it, but I thought it worked pretty well, so... Anyway, Tony, what is the game that shall not be named?
I think you guys know what the game that shall not be named is.
I'm pretty sure I know what it is, too.
Does it kick off the fall?
No, but that sounds like a great time to use the rest.
It is a touchdown.
Oh, okay.
So there's Madden. There's a new Madden. I know you guys are shocked that they released another one.
I can't believe they did a sequel finally.
Right? Actually, the game does include a sequel. The sequel is the long shot mode, which is back this year for the second time. Did you guys end up playing it last year?
I played some of it. I did not finish it. And so before I get Madden this year, I do want to wrap that piece up. Because what I played of it was really good.
Yeah, no, and it continues the story along. Interestingly, I think it tells a better story this year. But the story beats, there's no interactivity this year.
Oh,
so like you had all the dialogue choices before, and you had all those fun mini games that they had in there last year. Now it's just like cutscenes and Madden.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's an odd choice. They obviously didn't put as much time into like building it to be a separate kind of game as they did last year. It's still fun to play through. Like it's really the classic. A classic sports story that you've seen like a billion times.
Right.
But it's a fun story, and I did enjoy going through it. It just you kind of miss, like, last year the characters were my own because I was telling them what to say in these situations. And there's literally through all the cutscenes they give you, there's one dialogue choice the entire way.
That sounds like a shame.
Yeah.
I liked kind of the sports version of a Telltale game that I was getting out of Longshot last year.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
That was Madden 18 then?
That was 18, yes.
Yeah. I might have to try that out one day when it's $3.
It's probably like $3 right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
Well, so the new one's out, so there's no value to it anymore.
That game is practically dead. So I played through that. That took me probably like 4 hours. It's not long. But like I said, it's like it's just watching cutscenes and playing Madden. So, I mean, whatever that is to you. And then I'm playing a lot of the new franchise mode where they have made some interesting changes. Now your teams have like schemes. So like, for instance, playing as the Patriots, their defense is a... like a 3-4 hybrid, and that gives each position like a type of player that fits that position well. So now you have the case where you could have a really good player that just doesn't fit with your team.
Okay.
Which didn't buy a new player to.
Right. No, you need to find a player that fits your team, and if a player is a fit for your scheme, they'll get like experience bonuses, so they'll become better quicker and. They'll run plays better. So it's kind of good, like if you have a D tackle and you're the Patriots, their scheme is a 3-4. So that D tackle needs to be a run stopping D tackle. And there's other kinds of D-tackles. There's a 4-3 D-tackle. There's like a pass-rushing D-tackle. But you need this one specific kind of D-tackle.
And you can't choose the schemes for the teams. They're chosen automatically.
No, you can choose the scheme. So if you wanted to, you draft a player who's really good, but he doesn't fit your scheme. You can actually literally change your team scheme.
Okay.
I think that's more interesting than just like forcing you to play whatever way the developers decided.
It's actually kind of cool. So you could change your, right now my Patriots offensive scheme requires a field general quarterback. But if I were to draft a quarterback who, you know, is a running quarterback, I could literally change to a different scheme.
But by doing so, other players that already fit your scheme
exactly
might not fit, so you'd have to change them around.
You have to retool your whole roster around that kind of change. So it's not a small decision. Like, you really have to figure it out. The other big change that they made is with experience points now, you don't buy skills. You basically buy packages, and then the game randomly gives you some skills.
The non-purchasable loot box.
Yeah, basically, which is more realistic. So you send your player off. You're like, okay, you need to be that run stuffing D tackle. So you have like your three choices of, you know, power rush, or I don't know what the third choice would be, but one of them would be run stuffing. And so you would decide which package you wanted when it was time for your player to level up. And then they would get like four random skills related to that. So you don't have like control over like every little aspect of the player's growth, which I suppose is more realistic, but you do kind of control the general direction, which is what, you know, as running a franchise, you might have more control over.
Right. Like, you're going to spend time with your tackle doing, like, you're going to run practices that will build up those skills,
right,
that are going to help your scheme out. So,
So it kind of makes sense to do it this way. Although I did see some people who are upset that they can't, you know, adjust their minor little details of their players. And I don't know. That always annoyed me of the last couple Maddens. After every game, your players would have gotten a bunch of experience, and now you're just putting it into random places.
Right.
And it was really tedious, because you'd end up doing every player on your roster. If you had a really great game, you'd have to go through like 20 players when the game was over and be like, okay, now I have to sign a skill for you, and one for you, and one for you, and one for you, and one for you. And now it only comes up for a player when they're ready to level up. It's like when they have enough experience to go up from a level like 86 to 87. So you're not like tediously managing every little bit, which is
that's a nice, like, you know, quality of life change.
Oh yeah, no, it's good. Let's see. I mean, playing it plays really similar to last year's Madden. I'm pretty sure it's on the same engine.
Frostbite.
They brought back the Frostbite engine. I did see they added some interesting new plays, some of which work really well and some of which don't work at all. For some reason now the Patriots have this weird like play action play where they run the tight end behind the line all the way across, and sometimes he runs right into Tom Brady. So I try not to run that play anymore.
That's fair.
All you need is Gronkowski like tackling Brady before the play call.
And there is one weird thing I've noticed on punt returns. You have to watch your punt returner, because sometimes they'll take a step forward as the ball is coming down, and they'll fumble every time. I was playing one game against the AI. The AI did it three times in a row. It was good for me, but...
Yeah.
My player did it twice, so I was less happy about that. I think they may have done a tuning update. I haven't noticed it since in the last couple of days.
But it's running, like, you're able to access it? Because I know there were some problems before launch, like
where... Yeah, the EA Access, for whatever reason, the EA Access trial for it was completely ruined. Like, I saw lots of people, I couldn't get in. I couldn't get it to run at all. Other people were like, they would get in one night and then they'd come back the next night and their entire 10-hour trial would be gone. They'd be like, what happened? But since then, I haven't had a single issue.
All right, well, it's on my list of things that I may get to.
That is always fun.
Yeah, my son hasn't asked for it yet, so.
Are you guys just, like, in a Fortnite hole for the most part?
We've been playing a lot of Fortnite.
Yeah, it's fun when you play with other people, so.
Yeah.
Walt plays by himself, so he has, like, completed, like, all of the challenges up to date, but.
Which is good, because then he knows where to go to complete them all.
Yeah. We don't have to decipher any like ridiculous clues to find the stuff. Did they add the golf carts back in yet?
They're back.
Okay.
It's honest to God weird hearing anybody over the age of 12 talk about Fortnite right now. Like, like the only people I hear talk about it are my siblings.
Really?
Right? Like, yeah, my two little brothers play.
I mean, I tried it. It seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like PlayerUnknown's, I would rather play that than PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, but I'd play anything else than either of them. Like, it's just like, all right, I get it, I understand.
Jeff's ranking is like, well, there's like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and then Fortnite and then anything else in the world.
Like Superman 64, okay.
No, you know, I will go play my indie Switch game or whatever.
That's fine. I mean,
Dead Cells. Get Dead Cells.
I think it works like if you're playing with other people. Like I do play occasionally by myself, but not a lot. It's fun though.
I don't understand playing it by yourself. That's just me.
It changes the way it's played for sure, but and you don't have to worry about four dudes rolling up on you,
right?
At once, but I mean, I think it is more fun when you have four people and you're running around. And I don't know, we've done pretty good. We finished like second and third a few times, so we just have never won yet.
Damn,
it'll happen one day.
Yeah. We'll get there. Fortnite, Madden. You guys playing Dead Cells? 2064 read only memories. Integral, I guess, is the full title. That is an adventure game I'm playing on the Switch right now, and it's pretty cool. I think we may have briefly, maybe off podcast last week, talked about like how the developer is not great.
Yeah, it's a bad person.
Yeah, but the game itself seems decent. It's kind of like a futuristic. I'm trying to think of like what you. It's not really a.
I mean, it's a sci-fi. It's a mystery, but like not a murder mystery. It is to a degree, but it's.
Yeah, it's like a cyberpunk, a cyberpunk investigation type thing. That,
it's,
you know,
kind of like Blade Runner in that way, you know.
Yeah, kind of. It's much lighter.
Sure. Like, you know, cyberpunk mystery, like.
Yeah, in that sense, like where you're investigating a disappearance. And you're coming across a bunch of very flavorful characters. I swear that I didn't look it up before the podcast. Is Jim Sterling in that game?
Honest to God, I have no idea.
Because I came across a character that sounds exactly like him. They just down to like the end.
I bet you he's being lampooned. I don't like Jim Sterling. Does not strike me as the kind of guy who would give his critics even more ammunition by then participating in the development of a video game.
Oh, he absolutely has voiced characters in games before.
He has?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it might be. Yes, the Kotaku write-up of this says Jim Sterling's bright vocal cadences. So he's in this game, and I was like, that sounds like Jim Sterling. And I guess, lo and behold, it is Jim Sterling. He plays somebody that will be completely like you know, knowing. I'm not actually knowing Jim Sterling, but having followed him for a bit and kind of seeing some of his political leanings, he would not be this. Like, he is not this guy that he plays in this game. So it is like the exact opposite. But he plays the dude up pretty well. Voice acting is great. Everything is totally voiced. The robot companion you have is fucking annoying, but it's like a high pitched like little child sound that comes out of the robot. That's not cool. But go ahead, Pete.
No. You know what? I don't remember. It's been so long since I played it. I'm trying to remember if the game launched with voice acting, or if they added that later, or if I'm just like, there's just a giant hole in my memory about what any of those characters sounded like. But I think I just can't remember properly.
Yeah, I mean, for a game that where every line is just about every line, I think is voice acted. Like, it's well done. So, I have not gotten super far in it because I fell down Symphony of Night rabbit hole. But what I played of it has been good. So, it has a really good soundtrack too. Like a synth, there's like a synth soundtrack to it. So, and outside of that, I played some Tengen Tetris on the Nintendo.
What is the motivation behind playing that version? Like, what's the reasoning?
I looked into that there's a YouTube channel called The Gaming Historian.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he did it's an hour long video, which is one of like, it's the longest one I've seen from him. Most of them are like, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes. He does an hour long documentary on how Tetris itself, like how the game came to be, how it got developed, and then all the how it ended up being licensed by Nintendo on consoles.
How it basically like launched the Game Boy.
Yeah, like how like so they were negotiating for the handheld console rights, and how it ended up being like the kind of the launch game with the Game Boy.
Because, like, that was an arcade game first, right?
Yes. Well, it was a PC game first, I guess.
Really?
Yeah. And, like, the web of licensing that went on with this is insane. Like, you would think, like, oh, like, a story about how, like, this, like, simple, pretty simple puzzle game came to be, and then the business politics behind everything would probably be a little bit boring, but
the national politics of everything.
Yeah, because there was a lot of that too. Like, yeah. The guy who made it, who I'm currently drawing a blank on, but he was working for a government, you know, owned computer company at the time, so they claimed they own the rights to it, and they ended up selling to somebody, but like the contract was worded one way. There's all sorts of like backstabbing going on.
I mean, it was the Russian government, so like, you know,
yeah,
take from what you will.
Well, which is weird though, because they're like, I mean, outside of the fact that they were like, hey, the guy who made this doesn't have the right to negotiate to sell it because he made it for us. Like he made it here. Like he's not allowed to sell it himself. Which, I mean, that even happens here in the US, right? Like where, you know, if you create something at work, they claim it's theirs. In this case, like the Russian government sold to one company, but they sold like the PC rights. But then that guy who got those rights, he was like, well, like, you know, a console is a PC, right? Like, it's just a different way of handling it. And so, like, they started doing twisty things. They weren't paying the Russian government for it. A U.S. firm wanted to get in on it, and Nintendo wanted to get in on it as well. And so you have all these people, like, bidding on it and working with the Russian government and trying to stab each other in the back to get it. And it's very fascinating. It's an hour-long video on YouTube, but it's super interesting. And the fact that, like, Tengen Tetris was... Like, Atari actually thought they had the rights to do Tetris. And I don't know if you know, like, the story behind Tengen and Nintendo and how... Because Tengen was Atari. It was just a subsidiary of them. How they ended up, like, kind of breaking away from Nintendo and making their own. They're the ones that made the weird black cartridges.
Yeah, like the weird shaped black. Yeah. And, like, you know, essentially it's like unlicensed.
Yes, they made unlicensed games for the Nintendo Entertainment System. They basically, like, they claimed they had reverse engineered the basically the lock system that forced games to be certified by Nintendo. And they said they had created like a lockout switch that reverse engineered, and they, you know, they're allowed to have that. They're allowed. It ends up being that they stole some of the coding and designs of it to get that made. But like just getting there, and I don't think I ever played Tengen Tetris. So, to answer your original question, I was like interested in seeing it. Our friend Tony Boots on Twitter, he kind of said that he thinks it's the better version of Tetris. I think it's a very good version of Tetris. I need to go back and maybe play the Nintendo version again, because that's the one I spent most of my time with. But it's a good version.
So, like,
Tetris
on the NES, there's two versions of Tetris.
Yes, so there's the official Nintendo version
and the Tengen,
and then there is the Tengen version of Tetris, and that one actually released first. They sold about 100,000 copies of it before they were forced to cease selling it, because Nintendo actually ended up winning in court, and that they had the rights to Tetris, and they had to pull Tengen Tetris off shelves.
Were both of those before the Game Boy one?
That's a good question.
Because, like, I remember, like, this is just from my memory as a kid, like, that the Game Boy one is where Tetris, like...
It might have
existed in the arcade before that. But it's when it came out on Game Boy that it became, like, a cultural phenomenon. Like, everyone knew what it was.
Right.
Like, your grandma knew what fucking Tetris was.
No, so the Game Boy 1 came out first, and then it came out on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
But the Game Boy 1 is after the arcade version, I would assume.
Yeah, so right. the arcade version... it was like 1988 or so.
89.
Yeah, 89 was when the Game Boy version came out. And 89 is also when the Nintendo Entertainment System version came out. It just, there was like 4 or 5 months in between how that got released. But yeah, like there were versions for like the Amiga and the MSX and the IBM PC, like dating all the way back to like 86 or so. So, yeah, the game was out there prior to that, but the Game Boy is when, like, everybody kind of knew about it, right? So
yeah. and blew up.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I am. I do not. I'm illegally playing Tengen Tetris because I do not have a copy of it. But I am looking at buying.
You're illegally playing an illegal game.
Yes. Right. I don't think Nintendo gives a shit that I'm playing a copy of Tengen Tetris.
Bootleg of. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm playing a bootleg of a illegal game that shouldn't have been sold on the system to begin with. There are copies out there, and they sell for about 50 or 60 bucks. So I've been like, thinking about possibly adding that to my collection because I think that's like a cool one to have.
Do you have a lot of those black cartridges?
No, I don't have. I don't have any. Of them.
Me neither.
I have. I have two gold cartridges. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I don't think there's much in the way of news outside of you know, we talked about Philip Mushin last week.
And he continued to go down the road.
Yeah. He
it's not looking good.
No, he removed his apology video
pretty quickly too. Like a day.
And Jason Schreier has been keeping up with it. And I think he may be done with the story at this point, but there are multiple instances of, or at least accusations of this guy plagiarizing.
I mean, there's a verbatim, word for word, like paragraph long one that he did in a video that was just some like Reddit comment or something. So it's like,
yeah, there's like a video of him. He's basically just reading from Wikipedia or
something. Yeah.
Like, it's bad.
Yeah. And the funny thing is like the one thing he was reading from a Reddit comment was like describing how the HD Rumble works in the Wii, or not the Wii, the Switch controllers, right? And the Joy-Cons. It's like all he had to do is say, like, I'm reading what this guy said on Reddit, and this is what he said. And no one, you know, like, that's it. Like, but instead he just, like, pretends that's what he's saying. Like, there would be nothing wrong with him just to be like, this guy described it better. Like, this is how, you know, this is right. What it is.
Like, you know, so-and-so on Reddit.
Yeah.
Say about it's it. Like, and, like, I agree with that 100%.
Even on his YouTube channel, where it's just supposed to be his personality and him talking, like, he just faked it. Like, he's a total fraud through and through. Like, and I remember, too, like, when it first came out, like, people were like, I don't know, man. Like, so much of video game reviews sound the same that it's like, maybe that's just a case of that. I'm like, that's while that is true that there's, like, a format to reviews and, like, there's a lot of familiar terms and cliches, like,
is why he got away with it.
But when you spot plagiarism, it's obvious, dude. Like, yeah, like it's just like him tinkering around with something that someone else did. Like, no two people would say things exactly the same, like sentence after sentence like that. Like,
yeah, I haven't dug too far into all the. You know, all of his instances, but I did watch that side by side comparison video that he did, but that popped up on, I guess it was Boomstick Gaming, is the Dead Cells review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like his review is like he would like drop a word here or add a word there, but it was basically the exact same sentence. Like,
yeah. And, like, literally, like, I'm telling you, there's another one about the HD Rumble where it's not even altered whatsoever. Like, he reads it exactly how it's written. Like so if the guy, like, capitalized a word, he would emphasize that word. Like, he read it exactly the same way the paragraph was written out. It was crazy.
The funniest part is that I think the Engadget stuff, I think, like, misquoted something. It was, like, incorrectly quoted, said that, like, this button did X, and he made the exact same mistake.
Yes, like incorrect information was copy pasted. The guy's a fraud. Like, and I don't understand. Wow. The thing that like blows me away about it is like why, like the point of wanting to be a writer is wanting to write. Like, I don't understand. why you would just like waste all your fucking you and everyone else's time,
right?
Faking it, like it's a very weird thing, and it's not like it's like a super lucrative job either. Like I don't understand.
No,
it's like, such a weird thing.
Did he ever? I did see that a Colin Moriarty had reached out to him. Did he ever end up taking up on that? And
I don't think so.
I believe not.
Because I don't follow Colin, but
he blocked me.
So. He hasn't said anything. On, Twitter, like his Twitter's dude. Gone. Hot.
I don't. Like, a bunch of Twitter reached out to him. Like I heard that Jason Schreier and Kind of Funny did as well and stuff, and he hasn't responded to anything.
Yeah, like the last thing I saw with him responding to Schreier was what I guess in his apology video where he said, like, you know, you can keep digging, you're not going to find anything. And that just kind of opened the floodgates, I think, for him.
Yeah, don't call out a real journalist like that. Like, what are you doing?
Like, that's it's so hilarious because there was.
Oh no!
It's so hilarious because oh god,
who died? Did they both die?
Tony just disappeared. Oh. No, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Tony just he legitimately disappeared. But evidently, it was hilarious.
Evidently, it was so hilarious it just blew his thing away.
Yeah, it's a weird situation and. I do like look at it, and I mean, I guess nobody had questioned him on it prior to him getting to IGN. Or
it's amazing that you could fake your way that high up, like
to that position, yeah.
And like to get the, I guess I could kind of see the YouTube following in the first place because there's so many like pockets of YouTube you could fall into,
yeah,
and just whatever. Like if you put something out that's like semi-produced, like it will get views, I guess. But
I mean, you could put out something that's not even semi-produced because there was that. Yeah. I mean, I don't follow him anymore, but I don't know if you remember the Rambo guy on.
I still watch him. Yeah. I watch him here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, he like. I mean, it's literally just him in front of like a camera. Yeah. Like he gets views.
he gets a couple thousand views, yeah. Or whatever. Like which is like respectable. You know, he has his little audience or whatever.
Yeah.
But this guy was able enough, like, to get, you know, thousands more on top of that.
Oh yeah.
Then
yeah.
Get a job at IGN. And then for what? Like to get caught plagiarizing on your very first review. Yikes.
That it's nuts. I mean it's a mess for IGN. Like, I guess they ended up taking down everything that he ever wrote for them.
Yeah,
I honestly do not fault them, though. Like, I don't know how people could get mad at them. Like,
oh no,
are they supposed to be like cross? Like, you don't expect someone you hire to do a job not to do their job,
right?
You know what I mean? What are they supposed to be doing? Like, googling all day, like his fucking reviews and like. Seeing if something else pops up, like,
well, and you can't even compare that stuff to like, what if he just stole from a video,
right? Which is, it seemed like in some cases,
yeah,
what he was doing.
That's what he did yeah. with the boomstick one, but I mean, like, yeah. You can't like test for that.
There's no way to Google that. Yeah, yeah, and again, I guess, whoa, my Yoshi just died. Anyways, you hire someone to do a job, you're expecting them to do the job, like. I don't know. I have to imagine that's got to be a very rare thing. I remember it happened with the New York Times like a long time ago. There was this guy got caught like completely fabricating his stories. And they fired his ass too right away. He probably hasn't done shit since. You guys remember that? It was like in the early 2000s.
I do.
His name was like Jason Blair or something.
Yeah, and he wasn't stealing stories. He was just bullshitting them, right?
Like, yeah, like shit up. Totally, yeah, making shit up.
Writing like, fiction.
Trying to get a Pulitzer or whatever the fuck, I don't know. Try to advance his career.
Wow. I mean, yeah, this kid has just made it harder for people to actually get a job in the industry, I think. And like he took a spot that could have gone to somebody that legitimately deserved it. But he's gone now, so.
Oh, well. Disappeared forever.
Yeah, it's like you almost thought like maybe after, like, you know, he could have like let shit die down a little bit and then rebuilt his YouTube channel, but he's fucked now. Like he has no hope.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he came back to say shit.
Yeah,
for at least a little while.
What do you say at this point? What you do is you just delete your Twitter account and start over.
Yeah, like you're so caught. Like fucking move.
Grow a mustache.
Like, be like Rambo at the beginning of First Blood Part 1. Like, you're just a guy on the road walking somewhere.
Yeah. he certainly cannot come back to his old life. Like,
I bet you he still tries to make YouTube videos or something until, like, he just, like, gets put on blast or something until...
He joins Colin Moriarty's Victim Club.
To be honest, that's originally why I thought he had reached out to him and stuff, but he just like did a story on it or something instead and stuff. Like, I mean, he was actually like pretty pissed about the whole thing from what I read.
He was critical of him.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
Moriarty was.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
He was still just like, what the fuck? Like,
I mean, there's no really excusing it. Like.
No, and I do understand the desire from, like, I mean, not just Moriarty, but from Schreier and anybody else that, like, wants to, like, hey, what was going on in your head? Like, what made you think you could get away with this on the biggest gaming site in the universe? Like, I can kind of see you maybe being able to get away with it on your own little private YouTube channel, right? Like,
it takes a set of nuts to do it on the largest site.
Yeah, like, that's crazy. But hopefully there will be no more crazy plagiarism or any other drama in the games press. Because who the hell wants to talk about games press?
God almighty, I'm so tired of talking about the gaming industry.
But yeah, we'll be back next week. Maybe I will play Dead Cells. I don't think there's anything else coming out for a little bit, right? Like,
nah, Spider-Man is like a few weeks from now, but otherwise...
No movies, no games,
Yeah. When is Tomb Raider? Is that after Spider-Man or before?
Well, Spider-Man's the first week, so I want to say that it's got to be...
But yeah, so it's the week afterwards, I guess. So Spider-Man is the 7th. Tomb Raider is the 14th. That's when things start to get crazy, I guess, because then what? Red Dead is November?
It's October.
Was it October?
It's right before Halloween, I think.
Well, that's going to be October 26th. That's
October's going to be lit, son.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit coming out. And
Star's Born!
That looks pretty good.
Dude, I see that trailer in front of like every movie, and like I'm like, yes, that movie looks awesome.
Are you pre-ordering the Halloween soundtrack, Jeff?
I
in vinyl.
I don't know, but I did look it up today on iTunes at the very least, and possibly on vinyl.
But you do have that fancy record player now.
I know, and. That would be a cool thing to have, I think, on it.
Yeah.
I took a screenshot and I sent it to my girlfriend as a little hint.
Buy me this.
She will not remember.
You just send her one every day. all right. Well, when does that come out?
Halloween?
The soundtrack. Is it same
day.
Or?
Same day, I think, yeah. Like October 19th.
Okay.
I hope they release like at least a track or two from it. Like there was like a little preview
today.
But it was like 30 seconds and really not shit. But it's exciting that it's John Carpenter doing it with
yeah.
You know, a couple other people. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe Jeff will have that in October, but we'll be back next week with something. Who the hell knows what? Probably more Madden, maybe more Dead Cells.
Lots more Dead Cells.
Maybe some other shit as well. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.